Greatest Day, the story of Kerry's 36 All-Ireland football titles. Brought to you in association with Kerry Group, proud sponsors of all inter-county GAA teams. The Greatest Day, the story of Kerry's 36 All-Ireland football titles. Brought to you in association with Kerry Group, proud sponsors of all inter-county GAA teams.
Episode 36 of The Greatest Day, the story of Kerry's 36 All-Ireland Senior Football Championship victories, recalls the 2009 season. The Kingdom were aiming to finish the noughties as they began the decade. With the Sam Maguire crossing the county bounds adorned in green and gold ribbons, Kerry were already laying claim to the title Team of the Decade. In 2009, they demonstrated just why the tag was rightly theirs.
Part 1.
Pat O'Shea vacated the Kerry managerial position following the 2008 All-Ireland Senior Football Final defeat to Tyrone. Jack O'Connor was lured back into the position he left in 2006, with Tyrone getting the better of Kerry not only in 2008, but also in 2003 and 2005. There were claims that unfinished business was partially behind O'Connor's return. O'Connor says this is not the case.
Sure, people will have that idea in their heads, but they needed a bit of time out of the game in 2006 because that was a very trying year, and it kind of emotionally and psychologically in every other way, and physically as well, I was pretty spent at the end of that, and I just needed a break from the game. I wasn't trying to go out on a blaze of glory or anything like that. I just needed a break, and I got that break for a couple of years. And I think going back in with Kevin O'Reilly's and having a great run with him in the county championship in 2008, you know, had a big bearing on me returning to the game with Kerry, because I got my appetite back big time. And when the opportunity came to get involved with Kerry, then you know, and I felt that I was ready for it because I had my appetite and my energy back.
Eamon Fitzmaurice joined Jack O'Connor in the Kerry setup for 2009. Ger O'Keefe was the other selector. O'Connor believes Fitzmaurice has the potential to one day take the top job in Kerry football.
Eamon, was a fellow I always admired when he was playing, and he was a great leader, and a great leader with his club and with Field Rangers and that. And, there's no doubt about it. Eamon is the material to be a future Kerry manager, no question about it. And I think, I kind of was saying that to him, that this was a great way to dip his toe in the water at this level. And I think he's enjoyed the year, but he was a huge part of it because, himself and Ger really got involved in the training along with Alan and Pat. And I thought we had a great setup, to be honest with you. There was an awful standing on the sideline looking in. We were all involved in it. I think that's important for the players, that they feel that we're all in it together, and we'll all take the flak together and the praise together. So I felt we had a right good management set up this year, and I think we needed it because we were well tested throughout the year.
Silverware arrived early in 2009 for Kerry, with the side beating Derry in the Allianz National Football League final. Ty Kennelly made his senior championship debut for Kerry against Cork. Cork led 2 points to no score. The Walshes, Tommy and Donica, drew the Kingdom level. Tommy then limped out of the game. He was barely off the field when Cork struck for the only goal of the match.
Cork again, Kieran O'Connor, and this is Paul Kerrigan. Kerrigan going through, a chance for a goal for Pierce O'Neill. Oh, what a finish! The Kerry defence was split wide, wide open, and a magnificent goal from Pierce O'Neill.
Cork went 4 in front on 24 minutes. Donica Walsh and sub Dara O'Shea had Kerry points to halve the deficit by the 29th minute. On the half-hour mark, Kerry went on the attack once more.
Oh, that's a lovely little dummy by Mark Shea. Mark Shea still going through. The other dummy, Donica Walsh. Oh, he probably... It's a penalty! It's a penalty kick to Kerry. Great run by Mark O'Shea. Donica Walsh taken down, but maybe we see...
Harsh enough now, I must say. Harsh enough. Lucky enough to get that penalty. Great run by Mark O'Shea. Sold a couple of dummies. Superb run. Passed the ball out to Donica Walsh. But when Donica Walsh was going for the ball, the Corkman went for the ball also, and collided with Welsh, and he took a heavy collision. All right, Gary, but I often saw those not given, I must say now.
Colm Cooper, and behind him or in front of him is the new development, and there's plenty of Cork supporters on that. The Gooch won 4 to 5 points. If he scores a goal here, Kerry will go ahead. We're 5 minutes away from half time. Colm Cooper against Alan Quirk, the kick. Oh, he's missed it. He's put it so much to the right and wide. That's a bad miss.
There was to be just one more score in the half. A Donica O'Connor free for Cork, who led at the break by 1-5 to 5 points. The gap was extended to 1-9 to 7 points by the 23rd minute of the second half. Kerry seemed dead and buried, but an 8-minute spell yielded 5 points for the Kingdom. Hard to believe, but Kerry had drawn level with 3 minutes remaining. 12 points to 1-9. The search was on for a winner. Injury time saw what looked to be the deciding score.
It's Colm O'Neill. Well, there was a Colm O'Neill a few years ago. He was married, and he probably listened to us. He was married to his sister, Maurice Fitzgerald. He was a great corner forward for Cork. This is a different Colm O'Neill. This to win it. 45, long, high, good, over the bar! corner, and Cork are gone in front.
Kerry would have one last chance to save the day.
No, this will be the last kick of the game, Gary.
Absolutely.
And Brian Sheehan, the man from St. Mary's Carsevine, he has the hopes of every Kerry supporter and listener all over the world resting on his shoulders.
And it's brought forward up, we see. It's brought in another 15, 20 yards for something that was said by Cork, and this is in the plate now for Brian Sheehan.
Yeah, because they were interfering with the kicker, Gary. He was putting the ball down on the 45 metre line, Brian Sheehan, and Pierce O'Neill went up and he interfered with him, and the ref said bring up the ball closer.
Times out of 100 he'd pointed. Remember, he pointed one from a way out in the county final a few years ago to win it for South Kerry. Here comes Brian Sheehan, high, long, and it's gone over the bar, and we're level again at Fitzgerald Stadium.
The replay was a nightmare for Kerry, save for a 10 minute spell at the beginning of the second half. Kerry had gone in at the half time whistle down by 9 points to 4, and it should have been a lot more as Daniel Goulding struck a post and Pierce O'Neill blasted wide when through and goal. Kerry's Paul Galvin and Noel O'Leary of Cork received their marching orders on 25 minutes following an off-the-ball incident. The opening salvos of the second half were Kerry's.
Darren Sullivan gets away from his man. Ray Carey on the run, the Glencarman, Tyke Kennelly looking for it. Sullivan still going, chance of a goal, and he's put it over the bar. Fantastic run by Darren O'Sullivan. Declan has the legs, he's got the speed. Darren looking for it, still Declan going through, kicking for the score. Declan O'Sullivan, I think it's good, it is. Colm Cooper from right in front of the post with the left leg. He'll be most disappointed if he misses this one. Surely he won't, and he doesn't. Darrow lifting the siege, he's got Pinty with him, he's got David Morton to his left, still Darrow O'Shea. Will he go all the way and score it? A great 50 yard run for the young Glastonbury, he hits it high, and we're back within 1 point of Cork. And David Morton is a man who's well able to take 45s, of course, for Kerry and of course for his club, Cairns O'Rahilly's. Now, just to put us level, we didn't think we'd be saying this at half time. 9.5 minutes gone, is it going to be 9 points apiece? The answer is yes. The Kingdom are back alive. Level turns here in Parky Cleeve.
1 minute after drawing level, Kerry's hard work was undone.
Graham Canty has the ball. Graham Canty plays it outside to his right to Miskela. Drives it high, long. Cork yet to score in the second half. Killing your goal. The ball has gone aside. And danger again for the moment. A chance for a goal surely for Cork.
Penalty
kick. Daniel Goulding pulled to the ground.
This is a vital.
Donegal O'Connor, remember last week in the Fitzgerald Stadium, Colm Cooper missed a penalty. Now Cork have a penalty. 9 points each. It's Donegal O'Connor against Dermot Murphy. 35 championship matches in a row. The man from Dingle against the man from Ballydes with a shot. And it's goal. It hit the bottom of the butt of the upright and it trickled over the line and it's gone in.
The Kingdom never recovered from that and Cork went on to win by 117 to 12 points. Jack O'Connor feels Kerry's success in the National League worked to their disadvantage.
I felt myself that we hadn't the volume of work done that Cork had done. You see, we came back late from the holiday and started training only just 2 weeks for the league. So, and the fact that we won the league then meant that we really hadn't much opportunity to do many blocks of work during the league. Then you had club championship after the at the end of the league, and you had basically a couple of weeks to prepare for Cork. So we felt we hadn't the volume of work done. Let's say Cork would have done that, have done a training camp and that, and a good share of our players would have been playing college football as well. So they'd have been well ahead of us, you know, early in the year. Sure, we weren't playing well anyway, Gary. That's the bottom line. And we felt after the second game in Parker Creed, we'd have to restructure the team, and that's what we set about doing through the qualifiers.
Darren O'Sullivan feels, in hindsight, the loss to Cork actually worked to Kerry's advantage.
It was well said, like that. We just weren't at the races fitness wise and probably hunger wise as well. You know, if anything, we could have beaten them in Killarney, which probably would have done us no favours. We actually know it would have done us no favours. The fact that we went up to Cork and we got beaten, but you know, they gave us a good hiding on the day, which highlighted a couple of our problems. But the fact of the matter is, without playing well, we still managed to pull them back early in the second half. Yeah, we kind of lost our way a bit. Sure, they got a penalty and just kind of, after all our hard work, it was kind of just hard to pick yourself up again. But sure, who knows, if they hadn't scored that penalty, we might have gone on to win that game. Not being at our best, not being at our physical peak, I suppose.
With this defeat mirroring the events of 2006, Paul Galvin did not give up the hope that they could also turn around this campaign. Galvin sensed the Kingdom could still challenge for the end of season honours.
I knew we were way better than what we were performing. I knew that we were just, our training probably was just gearing up at that stage of the summer, and that we would improve. Like, but I mean, it was obviously a hard call to say that we might win in All-Ireland in the way we did, but yeah, you always hope, and you know, you always have a great chance when you're with Kerry, like, and I suppose it looked looked like he'd looked a bit dodgy for a while, but yeah, but we had done something similar, very similar. We were in a very similar situation in 06, having got well beat by Cork in Parky Cove, and we pulled it around. So that was what we were focusing on, and that was always there in the back of our heads, that, you know, maybe we could. So we just clung to that.
Kerry legend Jack O'Shea was not too perturbed by the Munster loss to Cork.
It's actually nearly beneficial at the moment not to be provincial title champions, because you can kind of get your act together and get your team rebuilt and on the road very, you know, on a good run in the backdoor system, and it helps a lot. But I feel the provincial finalists should be played against one another, as they always were. We'll say Ulster versus Munster, Connacht versus Leinster. The two winners go through to the semi-final. I think the two losers now at the moment, they lose out, they don't get any second chance. I think they should be brought back in, and they should play the two teams that come through from the backdoor system.
Defeat to Cork meant Kerry were now forced to take the scenic route to Croke Park. Jack O'Connor took the opportunity to knock on the door of a familiar face in a bid to tempt him out of retirement, Mike McCarthy.
Mike agreed to come back when I met him 2 days after the replay in Parky Cove, and I suppose it was just a matter of timing. The timing was right. You know, he probably felt the same hurt the rest of us did, that we were beaten by Cork. So, you know, he was a big plus to the team, because he's a great football brain, and he just gave us a huge bit of solidity in the number six slot, a bit like Moynihan had done back in 2006 when he came out there, you know.
Just like 2006, a Munster Championship loss to Cork was followed by a qualifier against Longford. Also, as was the case in 2006, Kieran Donaghy was named at full forward, his first championship appearance of the season, due to a foot injury which saw him sidelined since the National League final. The game was level at 1 point apiece, heading into the 8th minute.
Killian Young, all the way up from cornerback, and well blocked by the Longford man. Ball touched inside, here's a chance, and it's a goal by Tommy Walsh. Maybe he touched on the ground, maybe, but the officials back there weren't having it, and a great finish.
Kerry had the next 4 points to move into a 1-4 to 1 point lead after 17 minutes. Longford doubled their tally before the Kingdom took over again. 8 minutes to half time, and Kerry were leading 1-10 to 2 points. Longford had 2 points before the end of the half. Kerry now led 1-10 to 4 points. The second half should have been academic. Tommy Walsh pointed 1 minute after the restart to make it 1-11 to 4 points. Kerry would score just once more. Longford kicked 3 points before Tommy Walsh had that final point for Kerry after 42 minutes. Longford failed to take their opportunities and only added 4 more points between then and the end. Kerry had progressed by 1-12 to 11 points. If Kerry were unconvincing against Longford, then they were downright lucky against Sligo the following week. Kerry led 3-1 early on, but Sligo levelled before the 20th minute. It was then 4-4. Paul Galvin had Kerry leading 7-6 before the only goal of the game arrived.
We are now on 37 minutes, and that is the 2 minutes of additional time. If play continues, high ball inside, Eamon O'Hara might jump for this one. Will we have more? David Kelly with a goal. Oh, brilliant save. Has he the rebound? David Kelly has got the rebound. It's a goal for Sligo.
Sligo led at half-time, 1-6 to 7 points. Kerry were responsible for 6 of the 8 scores obtained in the first 10 minutes of the second half. Leading by 13 points to 1-8, Kerry looked on their way to victory. The Kingdom, though, had just 1 more point against Sligo, who themselves could only manage just 2 more scores. Brian Sheehan had Kerry's final score, a point with 9 minutes to go. That gave the Kingdom a 2-point lead, 14 points to 1-9. 3 minutes from time,
Eamon O'Hara goes high, he leaves the ball after him though. The break didn't go the way of Kerry this time. Jonathan Davey, it has opened up. There's a goal chance.
Penalty,
oh, he's been
penalty.
Pulled. It's a penalty.
What a wonderful run by Davey. A superb run by Jonathan Davey. He got the ball in the middle of the field. Well, the whole Kerry defence opened up in front of him, and he went right through. He's small, but he's fast and he's plucky. A wonderful run by him. He'd known to beat on Eamon McMurphy, and he was right in on top of him. When down he was pulled. Wonderful, wonderful run by him, and he was pulled down. The Kerry Championship could rest in this now. Eamon Murphy, I wouldn't rule him out for saving this. He's in such tremendous form at the moment, as Eamon Murphy.
David Kelly is the taker. It's a penalty to Sligo. Here's the kick. A save by Eamon Murphy. Fantastic save up to the right-hand corner of the net, and a brilliant, brilliant save.
Kerry's season may have been on the line in those few moments, but Kingdom goalkeeper Dermot Murphy says he did not feel any pressure personally when it came to the spot kick being taken.
The pressure's on the kicker, really and truly. There's no pressure really on the goalie. He's supposed to score. And my attitude was, if this guy's going to put it into the top corner or the bottom corner at speed, well then fair play to him. Like, you know, he's done that in a pressure situation. But if he didn't do that, I was going to save it. And that's how it worked out. Well, you know, I just waited for the shot and then reacted accordingly. Like, you know, maybe sometimes if you know a little bit too much about these guys, you know, it could influence you and what you do for the worse, you know. So it worked out well for us. It worked out well for us in the night.
Did manage to have the gap before the end, but Kerry survived just about on 14 points to 1-10. As the qualifiers progressed, Kerry brought on board the services of some familiar faces to aid their cause. Jack O'Connor turned to his former selector Johnny Colletti, among others, for help.
Tony O'Keefe and Seamus Mine, you know, came in midway through the year just to be kind of an eye in the sky up on the stand. Yeah, and, you know, that can be very valuable at times. Sometimes at ground level you can't see the game as well as the fellas up on the stand can see it. Their input was very valuable, and sure, Johnny will always be an advisors, I suppose, because, you know, his knowledge of the game and his interest in the game is unbelievable, and the experience he has. I'd always have great faith in Johnny's judgment, and you know, he's been a great advisor and a great support for me down through the years.
The Greatest Day, the story of Kerry's 36 All-Ireland football titles, brought to you in association with Kerry Group, proud sponsors of all inter-county GAA teams. Part 2.
In the wake of the Sligo victory, it emerged that Colm Cooper and Tomás O'Shea had, as Ty Kennelly put in his own book, broken the squad's self-imposed drinking ban. The news that Cooper and O'Shea were in trouble for their actions broke on the Friday before the Antrim match. Kerry Stars Carpeted read the front page of the Irish Examiner. Members of both the county board and team management were uncontactable that Friday. Those who were available refused to comment. Speaking later in the year, Jack O'Connor says the matter had to be dealt with, although he's not best pleased that the story made national headlines.
That was a decision you don't want to make, you know. It was just one of those things that you'd rather not have to deal with it. We had a certain set of guidelines in the panel and a certain set of rules, so we just felt that the situation needed to be addressed. But to be fair, the lads handled it well, and they took it on the chin, and it was just unfortunate that the media made a big hullabaloo about it. And sure, like everything else, we wanted to keep it as quiet as we could, but it got out there anyway, and sure, at the time, I suppose it kind of tied in with the conspiracy theory that we were going badly and we were in chaos and that we'd thrown in the towel. So the media latched onto that and made a big deal out of it. And you'd have to say that's going into the Antrim game the following week, that many people didn't give us a chance of surviving much further.
Tomás O'Shea is also aggrieved at the exposure the incident received.
I didn't agree with the way it went out, to be fair. No, I didn't agree with that, but I mean, we did wrong and we accepted it and we were punished, and that's fair enough, and we moved on. But I think the press made a bigger deal of it than what it actually was, and we were lucky that we got over Antrim and that we got a chance to prove ourselves again, and thankfully we did.
Dermot Murphy feels the fact that Kerry were to play again so soon after the Sligo match helped put the sanctions on Cooper and O'Shea to bed rapidly.
We're still in there with the games, we still were playing the games, and we still had another game coming up the following week against Antrim. Might have been different if we 3 or 4 weeks to our next game, you know, that things might have festered a little bit more, but nothing you could do. You could only, you know, be the game the following Sunday. We had to get down and get ready for that and get into it again.
Cooper and O'Shea were left on the bench for the outing against Antrim. Their absence was not felt early on, as Kerry took a 4-point lead in the first 15 minutes.
Ty Kennelly's over, working his way in from the sideline. Got an awful lot of ball. Kennelly inside for Darren Sullivan. Breaks it down to himself. Kennelly continues the run. Tommy Welch now slipped inside to Kennelly. There's a chance here for Kerry. He checks his stride. Back to Tommy Welch on the burst shot. Goal! Great goal by Tommy Welch, but a brilliant pass from Ty Kennelly.
Antrim wiped out that 1-2 to 1-point deficit by the 19th minute. It was 1-3 to 1-2 in Antrim's favour as the clock ticked towards the half-hour mark. Cooper and O'Shea's punishment ended after 31 and 44 minutes respectively against Antrim. The pair were summoned from the bench to aid Kerry's fight to remain in the championship. Jack O'Connor feels it was right to introduce the duo.
People had said that we'd be losing face if we brought him on. Mm-hmm. You see, we don't look at it like that at all. The one thing you can't afford to be as an inter-county manager and an inter-county management is to be vindictive, and we wanted to give him a token punishment as much as anything else, or a token gesture. I mean, what's the point in cutting off your nose to spite your face? I mean, we knew that if we were going to go anywhere this year, we needed those two players. You know, they both played a big part when they came on in that game, and Colm kicked 3 or 4 points, and Tomás set up the important goal there in the second half for Paul Gallivan. So, but after that then, you know, we wiped the slate clean, and we obviously, you know, had no residue carrying over to the following week.
Kerry's first score for 16 minutes saw them draw level at 1-3 each against Antrim. The Northerners led 1-4 to 1-3 at half-time. Antrim went 2 in front upon resumption. Kerry sub Colm Cooper had 3 frees in a row to nudge the Kingdom ahead. Paul Galvin made it 1-7 to 1-5 after 13 minutes of the second half. With 10 minutes to go, Antrim and Kerry were level at 1-8 apiece. The deciding moment was just around the corner.
Tomás O'Shea running at them, playing it outside. Tommy Walsh, quick hands to Paul Galvin. Must be a goal, surely. Shot, and it's blocked. Yes, it's gone into the net. This shot was blocked by Tonica Walsh, but Paul Galvin has followed it up, and it's a goal for Kerry.
Kerry were now 3 ahead. Kerry consolidated their position.
Paul O'Connor now, the second is free. He'll surely pop this one. It's just from the 14-yard line. He's right in front of the post. course, he's put the ball on the ground and he tips it over the bar. Now, so a goal in it again, 2-10 to 1-10, and 3 minutes left. And this free now by Paul O'Connor. 1 minute, Kerry are away from sealing a quarter final berth. They have a goal lead, a 4 point lead now will be much better than the 3 point lead. Here's Paul O'Connor, just about 25 yards out, and he pips it over the bar. Paul O'Connor, the Kinmare man. Dara inside to the Gooch again, peeling, coming through is Galvin on the bus, the man that got that goal. Paul Galvin again going through. Paul Galvin punches it over the bar. Another man of the match performance again by the Finucane man.
Kerry goalkeeper Dermot Murphy says the main thing was Kerry were progressing, irrespective of the nature of the victories.
We were still getting through the games, you know. You look at the early games against Longford and Sligo, and while we didn't play well in the games, we still won. And, you know, we were still managing to get through them and get through them. And, you know, I think the kind of the knockout factor of those games really brought us on. I think, you know, for Kerry fellas to play well, the goal needs to be their head a small bit. Like, you know, with games when there's not really that much at stake, Kerry fellas don't play well. But when the gun is put to our heads, I thought we responded well.
Speaking later in the season, Kieran Donaghy referred to the victory over Antrim as a turning point.
Mike McCarthy and Paul Galvin pulling us through the second half of the Antrim game above Tullamore, and we went into a huddle blow in the corner of the pitch after that game, and they were saying that it was only a fake show or whatever like this, but it was true. We knew what we were about. We got in behind the Gooch. We were going to win nothing without the Gooch, and he showed again today what a class act he is.
Kerry were underdogs for their quarter final with Dublin, and understandably so. Following on from a series of less than satisfactory displays, Kerry travelled more in hope than expectation. Kerry captain Darren O'Sullivan.
Yeah, I think so. I think in the games leading up to that, we'd only been a few inches off with passes. A few, just one pass went astray and it could have led to a great score. You know, there were only small things that were going wrong. I think especially in the Antrim game, maybe a few of them kind of came off, a few of them didn't come off. But I think the one thing they showed in that game was how strongly we finished the last 10, 15 minutes. I think that just kind of gave everyone that bit of confidence to say that we're not finished. You know, we still have the legs in the tank. So when you're getting that bit of criticism, eventually it does take its toll and it can be a bit draining. You know, when you're listening to the same thing over and over again, how the team's finished and they definitely won't win it this year, can take you back a bit, you know. It kind of dents your confidence and you do start to doubt yourself a bit. But I think that game, especially the last 10 minutes, the way we finished and just the way certain fellas were going around carrying themselves in that game kind of gave everyone a lift.
The Kingdom's fears were immediately erased.
The ball is thrown in by McEnany and the quarterfinal is on, and the first touch is got by Dublin. And in the middle of the field, the ball is driven in long inside. Tommy Griffin wins the first ball at left cornerback. Plays it outside to Donica Walsh. Donica Walsh, the man who's forced his way back onto the team here. A lot of pressure. Free out. First win by Kerry.
Yeah, good win by Tommy Griffin. Came out, won that ball in independently there. Well done by him.
Tomás O'Shea wearing number 5. You're playing here over at left half back. The pitch looks good, a bit patchy, but looks good. Great catch by Paul Galvin in the middle of the field to Dara. Dara with a lovely ball for Declan. It's got aside to Darren Sullivan. There's 2 men inside him. One of us, Colin Cooper. Give it to the coach. Goal, surely. Yes, a goal for Colin Cooper after 39 seconds.
Goal by the coach. Wonderful goal after 39 seconds by the man from Mark Shandavouli. It all started in the middle of the field by Dara O'Shea. Went into Donica Welsh. Lovely ball into the coach, and the coach with a lovely touch of the left leg. Cluxon came out, took the first goal that Cluxon is after conceding this year, and he just rolled the ball in, and the hill has gone dead. The hill has gone silence. Kerry leading by goal. The Gooch, the Gooch.
That goal set the tone for the afternoon. Dublin were startled, like a rabbit caught in the headlights. Kerry were relentless, defying the experts and critics with one of the greatest Kingdom displays of all time.
Kerry are absolutely on fire. They're playing with their old style, their old aggression and their old pomp and their arrogance. They're playing with a bit of arrogance, as if to say to Dublin, come along and take us, come along and beat us. At the moment, it's all Kerry.
Kerry led by 7 points just a quarter of an hour in. The gap was doubled in the next 20 minutes. Kerry went in at the break with a 1-14 to 3 points lead. Jack O'Connor rates those 35 minutes as the greatest display of his tenure.
It was, without a doubt, yeah, it was the best half. He often said the 2006 final, the first 20 minutes of that was serious football as well, but yeah, this was really sustained stuff. Like, any team that kicks 1-14 in the first half of a game, they have to be doing an awful lot of things right, and especially from where we were coming from, and the fact that we'd been written off quite a lot coming into the game meant that we were really motivated and fired up, and I suppose that showed in the football we played.
Dermot Murphy says the build-up had worked a treat for the Kingdom.
Yeah, I think the build-up for that game was ideal for Kerry, really, because all the pressure was on Dublin. There was fierce pressure on them. I remember reading an interview in the morning of the game with Brian Cullen, and I don't think he was even selected to play, but, like, you know, the impression was that this is kind of half done and dusted and they're moving on, like, you know, before the game was played at all. And I thought the pressure was really gone off of us on the day. You know, we played well. I knew there was a big performance in us on the day. Now, whether that was good enough to win the match or not is a different thing entirely, you know, because it a lot depended on what Dublin did, but they didn't play on the day at all. And Orlaith played really well, especially the first 25 minutes. And I think that's the best we've played as a group.
With the game now in the bag, Kerry supporters were able and entitled to sit back, relax and enjoy the second half. Kerry outscored Dublin 10 points to 1-4 in the second 35 minutes. Declan O'Sullivan says the media played its part.
I think so, yeah. I think the media certainly helped us in that regard. They kind of built Dublin up, and Dublin were after coming through a great Leinster final with Kildare as well. And certainly they were built up to being All-Ireland favourites, and we were being written off a bit, and that certainly played into our hands. But again, you know, we had to come up prepared and focused, and I thought, you know, our preparations for that game were brilliant, were spot on really, and certainly the performance proved it.
The first score of the semi-final against Meath came 3 minutes after the throw-in.
Jarrah kicking it high, not a great one, and Cullaby mopped up inside, Van Bentlos, the coach is in, pulled on again, Colin Cooper again, pulled on a sider, Anthony Miles in trouble, it's a penalty kick to Kerry after 2.5 minutes, the foul on Colin Cooper. Darren Sullivan that's going to take the penalty. Let's see, can Darren Sullivan do it? 3 minutes gone in the watch. Exactly, Darren Sullivan against Paddy O'Rourke. A penalty for Kerry. Here's the kick, and there's the goal by Darren Sullivan. Slipped as he kicked it, but it's gone into the back of the net.
Colin Cooper pointed in the 10th minute. Kian Ward put over Meath's opener just before the quarter-hour mark. A low-scoring first half transpired with Kerry tallying 1-3 and Meath 4 points. Kerry introduced Tommy Walsh 28 minutes into proceedings, a decision that would reap almost immediate reward. As was the case in the first half, Kerry's first score of the second period was a goal, this time coming just 1 minute after the break.
Good ball from Tomás O'Shea to Tykinay, trying his luck from a long, long way out. Up goes the big Tommy Walsh, chance of a goal, brilliant! Oh, brilliant, brilliant goal by Tommy Walsh, made by Tykinay and in the net.
There you are, Tommy Walsh. I did mention he was in devastating form in training, the best man I saw above there during the week, and he proved it. A lovely diagonal ball came across from Tykinay, and it was the diagonal ball. Tommy Walsh went up, fielded it, turned around his men beautifully, and with the right leg he rattled the ball into the back of the net past Paddy O'Rourke. Wonderful goal by the Cairns O'Rahilly's men.
That goal had a devastating effect on Meath, and from that moment on the issue was never in doubt. Kerry were now ahead by 2-3 to 4 points, and they kept up the pressure. Just 5 minutes into the second half, and Kerry had extended their advantage to 2-5 to 4 points. The match petered out after that, an injury time goal for Meath making the final score 2-8 to 1-7. Tykinelli's All-Ireland dream lived on. He was now just 70 minutes from realising it.
Fantastic. I don't think it's probably set in yet. I'm very tired after that, but look, it's great. Put in so much to coming home, and it's been a success either way already, whether we win or lose.
Cork, by virtue of their dismantling of Tyrone in the last four, were Kerry's opponents in the decider. Unlike in so many other matches, Kerry actually went into the 09 decider as underdogs. It's a rarity, but a tag which Jack O'Connor relished.
It was a great feeling, to be honest with you, because it kind of meant that we weren't under as much pressure as Cork were. So we felt ourselves that even the semi-final game with Meath was the ideal type of result and the ideal performance in a way, because again, we weren't very fluent, but that was a tough day and the conditions were difficult there, and Kevin McStay made a famous statement that we were not in a good place. We felt we were in quite a good place, that we were in an All-Ireland final under the radar and exactly where we wanted to be, and we still had one or two positions that we were playing around with, so that's always a good thing.
Tommy Walsh's goal-scoring appearance off the bench in the semi-final saw him promoted to the starting 15 for the decider. Donica Walsh was the one to miss out.
The greatest day. The story of Kerry's 36 All-Ireland football titles. Brought to you in association with Kerry Group. Proud sponsors of all inter-county GAA teams. Part 3.
The beginning of the All-Ireland final has been much talked about, mainly due to an opening minute incident. In his autobiography, Tykinay detailed how, "We wanted Cork to know that we were a totally different animal to the one they'd faced 3 months earlier. I was like a raging bull. After a few strides, I knew I'd timed it right. Cork's Nicholas Murphy had just turned slightly towards me, which opened the way for my shoulder to catch him perfectly on the chin. Cop that. It's different this time, boys." Kennelly later issued a statement. "I should never have allowed the piece regarding the incident with Nicholas to be described in the fashion in which it was. I gave an interview to the Australian ghostwriter, Scotty Gallen, just a couple of days after the All-Ireland. I didn't read over it, as I should have, Kennelly admits he may have been too forthcoming.
I was probably too honest in a way that I wanted to express what it felt like to play in an All-Ireland final, to build up the emotion that was inside me prior to the throw-in, and the eyes were rolling in the back of my head. It's probably too honest of an actual explanation of what I was feeling before the start of the game. I never intentionally ever in my life went out to hurt any footballer or anything. Was never premeditated. I probably premeditated to be physically and tackling and be strong and just to show Cork, not Nicholas Murphy, but to show Cork that they're playing a different team that they played 3 months ago, that we were totally, totally different animal. And that's what I meant by it in the book. And I think with the extract itself taking in the paper, you know what I mean, it kind of put me in a lot of hot water, because it never included the next two lines of the book where it says, you know, I never intentionally went out to injure any person or hurt any player, but I wanted to make a statement. And that was the next two lines of the book, was never part of the extract was taking out. Cop that, I suppose, is very much in an Australian term, and I suppose that's where he kind of took it upon himself. Yes, with a said we're totally effing animal this time, you know what I mean, because I wanted to show that to Cork, you know, we were a totally different animal. But I suppose that's the problem when you got someone from a different culture writing the book. When it happened at the time, I actually thought it was fine, you know, shoulder, and you know, Nicholas turned into me and I actually slowed down, and he turned into me and I turned into him shoulder, and I thought at the time everything was fine, it was perfect. I talked to Nicholas straight after the game in the players lounge, you know, and everything was fine. We talked about it and I said it was perfect, it was fine, you know, it was a shoulder. But looking at it in the tape and obviously in the video in slow motion, you can see I did clip him in the chin. I actually thought at the time when it happened, you know, I got him shoulder to shoulder, he turned and came down into me.
Are you lucky you weren't sent off?
Probably from the footage, yes, but from the play it'd be very hard for him to see what happened in actual normal motion. But looking at it in the video, I was very, very lucky.
In the final, Cork went into a 3-1 lead after 9 minutes. They extended that in the 10th.
Well, a poor kick inside. Oh, no, it can be that poor. It's a goal for Cork. Oh, my word. Nicholas Murphy drove it in. We see Colm O'Neill between Tommy Griffin and Dermot Murphy. None of them dealt with it, and a goal for Cork.
Well, Gary, I just have to say, five seconds ago, that long ball came in there and Colm O'Neill got completely away from his man, Tommy Griffin, and he turned around with the left leg. He rattled the ball. A wonderful kick by him with his left leg, giving Dermot Murphy no chance whatsoever.
Kerry were in trouble, trailing by 5 just after 10 minutes. Dermot Murphy says patience and experience were key to their survival.
We had a game plan set up before the game and we said, look, no matter what happens here, we're going to stick to our game plan. And that's how it turned out, you know, and the fact that there was so much experience on the team, on the sideline and on the bench, nobody panicked. Everybody just stuck to the game plan and everybody had faith in the next guy alongside him that if we keep sticking to this, things will come first.
2 by Colm Cooper reduced the gap to 3 by the quarter hour mark. Cork's Donica O'Connor made it 1-4 to 3 after 17 minutes. Over the course of the next 13 minutes, the game belonged to Kerry.
Colm Cooper to take this one. Usually he popped this one over the bar just outside the about 30, 35 yards out from goal in front of the post as he strikes into Hill 16. And Colm Cooper gets his first score of the All-Ireland final. 13 minutes gone.
Easy tip over for you here for Colm Cooper.
He'd have to take this one with the right leg though. He wouldn't chance this in a million years with the left. Usually Colm's right is as good as his left. He's right in front of the post for this one. And he strokes it over. Now so 14 minutes and 14 seconds. It's 1-3 to Cork, it's 3 to Kerry. Yes. Just coming up to quarter to four. This should be an easy tip over free for Donegh O'Connor. We're 17 and 14 seconds gone in the first half here. It's a 3-point lead for Cork and this should be a 4-point lead. Here he comes, about 3 runs up to it, and Donegh O'Connor from Bally Desmond's makes no mistake, and Cork lead by 4 again. Here goes Tomás O'Shea, usually good for a point. High ball for Ty Kennelly. Ty Kennelly gives it back to Tommy Welch, and Tommy Welch splits the post, but his first score from play, Seamus Scanlon with a great catch. Long ball for Tommy Welch. He makes the hop his own. He judges it to perfection. Tommy Welch turning, twisting, and shooting. A brilliant score from Tommy Welch. 2 in a minute.
Pooch is going to pop this over.
He should in front of the post, about 25 yards out. And Colm Cooper puts 1 between the sides. It's 1-4 to Cork. That's 7. It's 6 to Kerry. Good now job. Declan Sullivan taking on Kieran O'Connor. Declan O'Sullivan has the beating of Kieran O'Connor. He's winning every ball and he's going again. And it loosens it for him. Is this the leveller? Yes, it is. Colm Cooper for the lead for Kerry. It's the first time in the 2009 final that Kerry have led. Out they go again. Killian Young goes high with his man, and Paul Galvin wins the break. And on his left shoulder is Ty Kennelly, if he can give it to him. Paul Galvin says, will I give it to you? Yes, he will. Now Ty, freeing himself up, turning, looking at the post, shooting. Is this another one for Kennelly? It is. That makes up for the one that he kicked wide. That's a glorious point.
From being 4 down, Kerry were 2 to the good after half an hour. Each side had 2 in the closing minutes to leave the halftime score. Kerry 11 points, Cork 1-6. Rather than the expected Cork backlash, it was Kerry who took it to their opponents in the opening minutes of the second period.
We still wait the first score of the second half. Is this it from Colm Cooper? He's hit Kitty into the canal end. The umpires look high into the blue sky of Croke Park. And one says to the other, put up your white flag. Darragh O'Shea takes it quickly to Darren. Darren now being marked by Anthony Lynch. The captain goes forward. What a great run by the Glenbey man. Darren Sullivan in for goal and he kicks it high. And he's kicked it over the bar. A tremendous run by Darren O'Sullivan.
Kerry's lead had been extended to 4 after 44 minutes. 13 points to 1-6. The Kingdom had Dermot Murphy to thank for staying in front by that margin.
Tom Sullivan trying to get a ball away from Daniel Goulding. He's got a point from play so far. He's doing well. Goulding going for goal. Brilliant block by Dermot Murphy. Right on the line and Mike McCarthy saves it here for Kerry.
An absolute top save by the Dingle man. Dallin Goulding got the ball. He's left behind his man behind him. He got right into the verge of the square. He was at a bit of an angle. But Dermot Murphy, the big 6'4" man from Dingle, he narrowed the gap beautifully. Came out and Goulding went through. He hit a rocket of a shot. It went straight at the goalkeeper. But in fairness to him, he had the angle cut down. Saved that absolute rocket and the ball rebounded out. Great save by the goalkeeper.
There was widespread surprise when Ty Kennelly was called ashore in the 52nd minute. And Donica Walsh introduced in his place. Kennelly certainly wasn't happy.
I had Graham Canty beaten well and I'd felt that now was the time that I was going to really cash in on it. The game had opened up drastically and on many occasions I looked inside and all you had was a Gooch and Tommy Welch. The whole half forward line was cleared out because players were going down deeper and deeper because they were getting tired. The wings were very open and I felt I had him. And I just remember looking over and seeing my number on the thing and I just couldn't believe it. And I'd said it in the book, F in hell, you know, I can't believe this. I ran off, you know, and I was a bit upset and I was sitting down and couldn't get my head around it. And then Dara came off and Dara was sitting beside me and we were both just roaring and shouting, we were right into the game. And then afterwards, you know, I got caught with an interview after the game, which I was quite emotional about as well. And look, it wasn't the time to talk about it, and I wanted to brush it away because I was after winning All-Ireland. I didn't want to talk about being taken off. I was extremely happy about winning All-Ireland medal, and that's why I'd said that at the time, because I wanted to wash it away. You know, I didn't want anyone to take anything away from winning an All-Ireland medal. Look, I talked to Jack on the Tuesday in Glenbey. We didn't really sit down and talk about it about a week later, really, you know what I mean, after celebrations had settled down a bit. I suppose his decision just fight himself in a way that Dunica came on and set up a couple of points as well.
A run of 3 Cork points in a row brought the gap down to the minimum by the 54th minute. Kerry 13 points, Cork 1-9. Cork would not score again. Kerry, meanwhile, pulled away once more.
Tommy Welch, Goots gets it ahead of Michael Shields. Tommy inside now for the captain, Darren Sullivan. Anthony Lynch cannot put a finger on him. He's on a yellow. Back to Colm Cooper. Can Kerry get a score? That's a good run by Colm Cooper. 3 of them on him. Back to Dunica Walsh. Back outside to Tommy Welch. Puts it on the left. It's gone high into the clouds. It's coming down. And it's gone over the bar. Tommy Welch with a very, very needed point. It's his third. Paul Galvin knows there's only one route now. Gives it to Tomás O'Shea. That's the route. The run is made by Donny. First touch by the man from Aston Stacks. Back to the other tall man, Tommy Welch. Tommy Welch on Owen Cadigan. He's got 3 points from play. Tommy Welch needs to get it out of the corner. Into Donica Walsh. Back to Tommy Welch. This is a good kick from Tommy Welch. Oh, that's a beauty! Tommy Welch, the player of the young player of the year 2 years ago. Magnificent points.
Magnificent football by Kerry.
The loose man out to the left. Gooch can't spot him. That's Tomás O'Shea. What a run. Now Tomás steady himself. Kicking for the post first time. Brilliant, brilliant, brilliant score by Tomás O'Shea.
That Kerry point in the 59th minute was the last of the match. The Kingdom, for the second time in 3 seasons, had beaten Cork in the All-Ireland final. It ended Kerry 16 points, Cork 1-9. Ty Kennelly finally had his much-sought-after All-Ireland medal, emulating his brother and father in the process.
My father inspired me. Simple as that. Inspired myself and all throughout our career. Everything I ever did or still do is for my father. And the whole year itself was dedicated to my father and to winning an All-Ireland medal, because it's something I've always wanted to do, because I always wanted to be my father.
Kerry captain Darren O'Sullivan's post-match speech will always be remembered for his Tá Samhain Chochtawalla quote, something he says he was working on.
It was a bit of a blur. I was very excited right at the time, and then when I started walking up, the nerves started kicking in a little bit. But no, it was obviously a very special moment for me. Like, when we're looking out and I was trying to get things sorted in my head, what to say and what not to say. And I'll be honest, it was only when I looked out and I just could see the herd of Kerry people flying onto the field, that's when the nerves started. I was more nervous than when I was before the game.
And the Irish?
No. I was quietly learning them for a couple of months.
Leaving Páirceachaoin on June 13th, dreams of winning the Sam Maguire in 2009 seemed to be just that. Not for the first time, however. The Kingdom proved their doubters wrong. Former Kerry goalkeeper Paddy O'Mahony has great time for this current crop of players and also has high praise for the efforts of Ty Kennelly.
He was definitely the saviour this year, because when we tackled the year earlier on and when he was not used to the round ball, we were struggling. I can imagine the effort he put in. God forgive me for talking about Tim Kennelly's death, but I remember the day that Tim died, you know, because Tim and I were close friends, really, you know, and I met Ty that day, you know, and he was so upset and sad. And I said to myself, as sure as God, this guy's going to come back to Kerry and prove to Tim and to his mother Nola that there's life in the old dog yet. And he came back and won his All-Ireland with Kerry. He was definitely the key this year to change the forwards' outlook. The current team has caught up to us at this stage, and maybe they're surpassing us because they have more games to play before they win a final. And I have to say that this year I thought Kerry were exceptional. I thought they'd no chance after being beaten by Cork in the Munster semi-final, and that we'd have to wait till next year. They really came forward, you know, and Jack O'Connor has to take credit for that. And I suppose the team itself, they're an exceptional bunch of boys. And there seems to be great camaraderie there. I thought in the homecoming where they were up in the stand and, you know, they were hugging each other, and you could see there was a real family atmosphere there. I'm very impressed with them.
Paul Galvin was subsequently named Footballer of the Year, an accolade he's proud of.
We managed to turn things around with Kerry, and, you know, the footballer there was another there. Those things are bonuses, you know, and if they come along, you know, they're always a good thing, you know, you don't turn them down. So that was great. I was happy. No, it wasn't something I was thinking about or focusing on. I'd heard it mentioned coming up to the final, I think, or I heard it mentioned during the year at some stage anyway. You know, you don't take any notice of it. And then I you know, obviously when I was nominated for it, you begin to kind of think about it a bit, all right. But, you know, when I was in against Tomás and Graham Kenty, it could have gone to anybody. And, you know, I was an honour to get it, no doubt about it.
Galvin's return to form in 2009 coincided with the Kingdom's rise to the top table once more. Both the Kingdom and Galvin had a 2008 to forget, Galvin playing a bit part role as Kerry lost out to Tyrone in that season's decider. Galvin was Kerry captain in 2008, his tenure ending early following the infamous notebook incident in the match with Clare. Galvin says being skipper in the future isn't an issue for him.
I don't know. I mean, it came upon me that time a few years ago. I came out of nowhere, really, because we weren't expected to win a county championship. It was never an ambition of mine, like, and just happened to fall in my lap, and obviously it didn't work out very well, but that's not something that I think about, to be honest with you. It's over now, and it's not something I'll think about going forward. Captaincy, being captain, isn't an ambition of mine. Never was an ambition of mine. It was a fantastic honour, and it took a lot of hard work. But I mean, we won a county championship more so than I became captain of Kerry. Like, my county championship medal is what I think about and focus on. I don't think about captaincy or how it turned out or how it might. It's not an issue for me, like, and being captain again isn't an issue for me, certainly not. If it happened, it happened, and I'd go about it and see what happens, like, but it's certainly not something I think about or lose any sleep over.
This Kerry team has yet to defeat Tyrone in the championship, but like all great sides, the Kingdom team of the present era will be judged on what it's won, not who they beat along the way. Paul Galvin has no regrets that beating Tyrone is still not on Kerry's CV.
Not for me anyway, not for me. Like, I mean, fair play to them, they beat us and they're a great side, and I have a lot of respect for the Tyrone side, and, you know, we've struggled against them, and it's a great challenge for us going forward, and hopefully we'll meet them maybe next year or the year after, but that's a great challenge for us to face down the line at some stage whenever we meet them. But nah, there was no regrets for me. You play, you get, and Cork were just as big a challenge, probably a bigger challenge actually this year than the Tyrone, because they were just playing so very, very well. Like, we really had to pull out all the stops to beat them, and the Tyrone thing is fine, like, it's not an issue for me at such. Like,
Kerry selector Eamon Fitzmaurice subsequently published his pre-All-Ireland final diary in the Irish Examiner. In it, he discloses that a prominent sports personality had been lined up to speak to the Kerry squad the Thursday before the final. Fitzmaurice explains that the unnamed gent pulled out. Apparently, he had been advised not to do it. Rumours persist of a Cork man from another code being the person in question, but in the diary, Fitzmaurice never reveals who that person was. When broached on the subject, Jack O'Connor was coy.
Come on.
Yeah, Jesus, no, Gary, we can't be talking about things like that. No, that's off the record. We leave that one be. Leave sleeping dogs lie.
At times, Kerry people may not understand how the county and its football team is viewed by the outside world. Journalist Donal Keenan is a regular visitor to Kerry.
For people in Kerry, you mightn't understand what it means to me to go to Kerry and watch what goes on. But I meet the young lads down in Kerry. I have a 17-year-old nephew who plays with Kerry's O'Reilly's. And those guys, they play and they follow everything. And they follow soccer and Manchester United and Liverpool. And they follow the Lions and they follow Munster. But they play football. and they kick football and they practice football, and football is what they think, and football is still number one. And while that might seem natural to everybody in Kerry, it's not natural outside Kerry. I can see it here in Dublin. My own son is playing rugby. He follows soccer. He'll follow the Dubs, but he's not playing Gaelic because it's just not the same thing, even though he has a father who's a fanatic on Gaelic football. It's the same in Roscommon. It's the same in Galway. Galway might be slightly different, but it's the same in every other county. There are distractions. To me, in Kerry, Gaelic football is number one and everything else is a distance away. That's a huge difference. I was in Dingle. I was stopping with a friend of mine who's from Dingle, and he was introducing me to people. And the minute they say a Keenan from Roscommon, they know the history. Young men in their 30s could tell me that my father won two All-Irelands with Roscommon. That is the difference. And it's something that's very, very special, and it'll be very sad if Kerry ever lost it.
Beginning next week, your favourite The Greatest Day episodes. To have your say, write to us. Sports Department, Radio Kerry Tralee. Or email sport@radiokerry.ie. The book, based on this radio series, The Kingdom, will be published by Gill and Macmillan in September of this year.
The Greatest Day. The story of Kerry's 36 All-Ireland football titles. Brought to you in association with Kerry Group. Proud sponsors of all inter-county GAA teams.
You've been listening to The Greatest Day, a 36-part series documenting the story of Kerry's All-Ireland Senior Football Championship victories. The Greatest Day was presented by John Drummy, written by Joe O'Mahony, and researched and produced by the Radio Kerry Sports team. This programme was made with the support of the Broadcasting Authority of Ireland Sound and Vision Scheme.